when soldiers play economists.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Thailand's military rulers are launching emergency measures to try avoiding an economic crisis in the wake of the coup. The BBC's Jonathan Head reports from Bangkok.
One immediate reassurance that the military has given is to revive the huge infrastructure projects of the government it ousted. The military also wants to push ahead with the ousted government's high-speed rail routes and introduce some version of its price support schemes for crops. Somewhat ironic when you think that the coup's supporters always condemned the government's policies as being irresponsible populism.
Some like the changes, but it's not clear whether the generals will be able to steer the country through choppy economic waters.
So their first measures have essentially been crowd pleasers, making overdue payments to rice farmers and capping the price of cooking gas and diesel fuel. And the stock market and consumer confidence indices have rewarded the coup makers with small jumps thanks to the immediate relief from political turmoil that the coup has brought. And in the end, the military will face the same dilemmas as the politicians: how to balance being popular with being financially responsible, and how to stimulate investment without also stimulating more corruption.
The BBC's Jonathan Head in Bangkok. The EPA's plan to cut power plant carbon emissions lets each state figure out how to reach its goal. One big difference among states right now: how much residents pay for electricity. Conrad Wilson reports on what the new moves could mean for our power bills.
Folks in Wyoming were paying 10 cents per kilowatt hour in March. People in Massachusetts paid nearly double.
The biggest factor here is that there's just a lot of different generation mixes across the states.
That's Harrison Fell with the Colorado School of Mines. Wyoming gets almost all of its energy from coal, while in Massachusetts, it's mostly natural gas. Andrew Cleet is a professor of energy and environmental economics at Penn State.
The more coal intensive you are, the bigger the impact of rules will be.
But even experts say they're not sure what the new rules will do to the price of electricity in states that burn mostly coal.
I know you want to predict the future, but if I could predict the future, I'd be far too busy to answer the telephone.
But a guess?
Well, I wouldn't think they would go down.
Cleet says that's only if the proposed rules become the rules. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading. We're seeing that in UK, Germany, and France. Also in France, the president there is blasting the prospect of a $10 billion fine for French bank BNP Paribas in a letter to President Obama. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P dropped less than a tenth percent to end at 1924. The Dow lost a tenth percent, finishing at 16,722.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com, and by MassMutual, dedicated to helping lower-income families protect their children's education with MassMutual's LifeBridge program, MassMutual.com. Marketplace's coverage of wealth and poverty issues is supported by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. More at fordfoundation.org.
A documentary opens today from the director of An Inconvenient Truth. It's called Spent, Looking for Change. It's about people living on the margins of the financial system. Its unlikely sponsor, American Express. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports on how the maker of the upscale Black Card is going after the same kinds of low-income people in that documentary.
Spent profiles several families as they navigate check cashing places, payday lenders, and, of course, the fees that come with low balances and overdrafts.
The fees became so much. Payday would come and we'd be back to zero.
Eventually, what the bank will do is boot them out of the system and close the account because they feel like they're not going to recoup their debt.
About one in three Americans has no relationship with a bank at all, or a tenuous one, and they spend around $90 billion a year on fees. Amex wants a piece of that pie. The company, which has traditionally focused on the wealthy, is redirecting that focus to low-income consumers. Dan Schulman is the president of Enterprise Growth at Amex.
We really want to move our brand from being an exclusive brand to being a welcoming and inclusive brand.
Amex has teamed up with Walmart to offer an all-mobile banking service called Bluebird. It's also rolled out a line of prepaid cards. The services don't rely on steep fees that usually come with financial products targeted at low-income consumers. Shulman says technology has changed the cost equation for companies like Amex.
We're trying to reimagine the consumer financial services landscape in a way that's very different than traditional bank branches.
Namely, cheaper. Thanks to the ubiquity of smartphones and internet access, there's a race to the bottom going on in financial services, says Andrew Zolli, author of Resilience, Why Things Bounce Back.
We're talking tens of millions of people, not all of them with lots of money, but if you put them together, you're talking about real money.
Last year, venture capitalists put almost $1 billion into financial startups, mostly catering to low and middle income Americans, everything from social lending to business loans.
New kinds of accounts that provide the same kind of functions of a traditional financial services without the same kind of high cost.
American Express is the first major financial institution to aggressively target lower income consumers in this way, but Zolli expects other big players will soon follow suit. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, the NHL's Stanley Cup Championship Series begins tonight, and it's something of a broadcaster's dream. The New York Rangers take on the LA Kings. A clash of teams from the two top TV markets should be good for ratings, and it's a rare thing. There hasn't been a New York versus LA championship matchup in any major sport in more than 30 years. Politicians are making the usual state product promoting wagers. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is offering up buffalo wing sauce and other treats. California Governor Jerry Brown, never one to miss a chance to reinforce a West Coast stereotype, is betting organic brown rice cakes. I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The Tiananmen protests 25 years ago were about students and democracy and a little bit more, too.
Prices were going up at an average of about 7% a year. In 1988, there was a spike where it was more like 17%. And so that kind of inflation hit hard.
I'm Kai Rizdal, 1989 Revisited, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.